That's right.
That overtime game last night.
Was it overtime?
It went to overtime.
I did not know that.
You didn't watch it, did you?
I did not watch it.
Nope.
I was set on not watching it. And I didn't find out who won until 11:30.
That's really funny.
When I was looking through some feeds, getting ready to go to bed, and I'm like, guess they won. You know? Yep. Didn't know it was overtime.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Overtime. It was a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
of course. That's what I mean. It's like, I think that's what most of the country was feeling. Ah,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Unless you live in San Francisco or Kansas City, or you a bandwagon.
Unless one or of those things. It.
Yep. Right?
Yeah.
Is what it is. Yep. I think we're both kind of bitter. So that's part of the reason.
Oh, man.
It's funny that it ends up that you and I, when you first started working here, one of the first things I learned about you is you're a Ravens fan. I'm like, how's she that? Well, Delaware.
Delaware.
A lot of Delaware.
Yep.
You know, so all good, man.
Yeah, Delaware's homeless as far as
that's right. Yeah, so that's true, man.
Get to choose. Got a little circle of teams around us.
Yeah, that's right. You get to
pick
and choose.
I chose the good guys.
You sure did.
Some might argue that I should have chosen the Green Birds to the north, but
I know a lot of Wilmington is Eagles fans, but a lot of the lower Delaware is Ravens.
Ravens or Washington.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Are there Washington fans these days?
It's really a just sad. Asking, it's a really sad, sad life time. There are.
I don't know, man.
There probably are somewhere.
I'm sure. I used to be when Baltimore didn't have the Ravens.
Yep.
So I feel for them a little.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway.
This will be the
there was our football commentary after the Super Bowl.
And that's the last about one all there was. Yeah, we'll be back in August.
Yeah, man, for sure. For sure.
But we'll be here until then talking about the Bible, which is way better.
It is way better.
Way better. Way more life-giving. Less draining. Yes.
I agree.
Anyways, we talked more about wisdom this week.
Yeah, it was.
Kind of right into the middle of the, getting right into the middle of the series now.
Yeah.
Third week and...
And it's like, you know, when we talk about Solomon, we were talking about his life and all the stages in life and the things he's learned and things he's teaching us through his life or through his teaching or whatever. But this week was the one week of the series where we really concentrate on this whole idea of wisdom and what it is, why we need it, how we need it.
Yeah.
And just kind of leaving it out there.
Yeah. The story from Kings, the First Kings 3 story, is one that has always just fascinated me. Like, to witness this moment of, like, Solomon being like, bring me a sword, I'm going to chop this baby in half.
Is that crazy?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it is really kind of staggering wisdom. Let me give you an example of this. One day, I'm watching my wife deal with my kids. I mean, I was just at the kitchen table, and they started arguing. They didn't really start arguing, although they did back then some. It was more like there was a candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one candy bar, and they both were going to split it.
Mm-hmm.
So Kim said, tell you what, one of you cut it, and then the other one picks which side you want.
Yeah.
I was like,
genius.
My mind just blew up at that point. I was like, that is the most genius thing I've ever heard. Because if you get to cut and you get to pick, you're going to cut a big side and you're going to pick the big side. But if you cut and the other one gets to pick, you don't want to get the small. It was genius rationale. And so I told my wife, she's a genius. Now, many of you other parents out there might do that same thing.
My mom used to do that.
And maybe that's been around for years. I just never heard of it.
It was never done to me.
Maybe
they tell the moms.
Maybe they do.
You're taking this baby home, there's going to be a point.
Yes.
Where you need to know that this is how you split a brownie.
Here's the trick. I just never heard it before. So it reminded me so much of that story, man, of like, it's just such simple rationale.
Yeah.
And it really did take the leading of God for him to come to something like that drastic. And knew the outcome was going to reveal the real mom.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really an interesting story to read for sure.
Yeah.
One of those that's like, whoa, that could have been like a good TV episode, movie type of thing.
Well, sure,
it's like every once in a while you read a Bible story. Well, more than every once in a while, I think, like, because a lot of, especially the Old Testament history is like, wow, that
yeah
is something. But I think the thing that we went back to yesterday is like just the reminder, because of what the life lesson was, right? Like, of God offers his divine wisdom,
yeah,
but we must ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
That idea of, like, we went back to kind of the first week when we talked about Solomon asked for wisdom from the Lord.
Exactly.
Then we got to see this example of how that played out in his life and, yeah, like, in how he managed his kingdom.
Yeah.
And that was a beautifully managed situation, you know? So
it really was, yeah, in several different ways, because it wasn't just that playing the part of the judge, which he had to do at that point,
right,
but it was also managing his whole country. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't really a country back then. I mean, they didn't call it that, but, you know,
the, right,
the people of Israel,
mm-hmm,
God's chosen people, let's just say, he had to manage all that.
Right.
He had to take care of not only just the people, but all the resources, the, yeah, finances, the building of the temple,
yeah,
all this stuff.
When there was, I mean, no judicial system at the time, you know, like, he was kind of the court.
When you were that granular and you get,
yeah,
a couple women that were like, come in with this crazy situation, he's got to decide between the two. Okay. Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting thing that he asked for it and God gave it.
Yep.
So the life lesson was, hey, man, God is going to offer you his wisdom.
Yeah.
He said, I will offer it to you.
Yep.
It's a promise. I will give you my wisdom. But there's a condition.
You have to ask.
You have to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And are we asking is the question. Because
I think that's the challenging question.
I think there's times where I find myself in a situation, mm-hmm, and like it's all happening, right? Like our life starts happening quickly around us.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh man, I got to make a decision really quick. Like, what am I going to do? What's the next thing? And do we stop and say, God, give me wisdom here?
Right.
Or do we just let the, like, intensity of the moment sweep us into, like, just blindly choosing the next thing?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be the ideal.
But you're right in saying that that challenges us, because the first thing we ought to do is say, God, I need your wisdom in this situation.
Yep.
The first thing that I sometimes do is feel the stress in some way, and it reveals itself in either like, oh, man, or just frustration or,
yep,
or anger or something like that. And it's like, wait a minute, take it to God.
Yeah.
He said he will give us the, yeah, answer that we need if we ask him for wisdom.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
that's why I read this verse purposely at the very end of the message.
Okay.
But it is the verse of that point.
Right.
If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Yeah, man. And it's like, when we ask, we can have expectation,
yeah,
because of the promise, not because of us demanding,
right,
but because of the promise. Just ask me.
Yeah.
So we can say, okay, I'm going to believe that God, in his timing, in the circumstances that I'm going to learn, in,
yeah,
the experiences, the things that I do, the things that people talk to me about, I'm going to come up with the answer for this.
Yep.
Because God said, ask me.
Yeah. Well, and there is that caution, too, that comes right after that in verse 6, where it's like, okay, make sure, though, that it's God that your faith is in, that you're,
yeah,
focused on, and,
yeah,
not like, if we're coming to God like, okay, Lord, give me this wisdom so that I can elevate myself above all of these other,
yeah,
people.
That's not right.
He's gonna see our hearts in that, and that's not
yeah,
the attitude that,
yeah,
he's gonna honor with, because it's an unwise attitude in itself, you know, to be wanting to elevate,
yeah,
ourselves
for sure. And then God's like, that is so unstable.
Yeah.
Because when we trust in ourselves, it is an,
yep,
unstable place to trust. It's like wherever the wind blows, oh, I think this. Or I think this, I've been in those situations before where,
yeah,
it's like, oh, I'm going to decide to do this. Oh man, maybe let me do this. Oh, maybe that's the wrong decision. I better do this. And wherever the wind is blowing our mind, our hearts, our environment, it's like, then we make decisions. And it's
right,
like, wait a minute. God says in the midst of all the wind,
yeah,
and the instability of waves coming and going,
yeah,
I'll give you the answer.
Well,
now,
what's
that? Go
water
ahead.
Is super, like, there's a lot of instability if you... So I know you spend a lot of time on your jet skis.
Yeah.
You and Kim do. The difference between when you're in the ocean and when you're in a bay.
It is.
It's a massive difference. It's a massive
difference. Just recently, I took my wife from like Ridley, people won't notice if you don't notice area, all the way to Philadelphia. It's like 17 miles on the jet ski. It's really fun. And on our way back, I lost a cylinder. Okay, a spark plug blew or something like that. So we had to go 7 miles an hour all the way back. Took us hours, right? And the wind kicked up on the Delaware River.
Oh,
and
man.
you would think, oh, no, it's a river. Oh, my gosh. The waves were slapping us the whole way back. I was literally thinking, we're going to have to park this thing and go get our trailer and, you know, whatever. But it just gives you an idea of how quickly, because we didn't have any wind going. It was all coming back. And they just grew. And you didn't know what they were doing. They were going this way. They were going that way.
Yeah.
And it's just such an illustration of we don't want to be that unstable.
Yeah.
It caused us to be extremely unstable on a small watercraft like that. You know what I mean? And it's just like, trust God. And why is that so hard?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean.
Another time that's not right now, I would like to ask you if you and Kim have ever had an uneventful trip on your jet skis that just went exactly the way that it was supposed to.
Quite a few uneventful, really nice
Mostly
trips.
I hear that you've lost parts and almost were sinking sunk. Into the ocean.
Yeah, it's like, man, I know. It's just the way it is. But I would like to ask that question. When we ask God for something and say, God, you're the one that is in control of everything.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, let me just, while I'm talking, I want to read that passage in Romans, because it's like, man, if we understand this, and actually even, it says this in Romans chapter 11 at the end, it's like, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge, how impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know God, the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen.
Yeah.
So he owns it all, even though we don't understand it.
Right.
We can't grasp all of that God grasps. But he says, come to me for the wisdom. He owns it all. He does it.
Mm-hmm.
And we read a passage in Daniel that said, man, he's the one that sets it all up. He runs this whole earth.
Yeah.
So we can ask him for that wisdom. And we have to believe that he's going to give it to us.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to let go of our control over something. And I think sometimes God brings us to that place where we're like, now what are you going to do? Because you have no idea what to do.
Right.
You know? And then it's like, when we have no idea what to do, we have no control over the situation. And if we continue in that path of being in no control over the situation...
Yeah.
We're in that place like waves that just get blown around and bounced around and all that.
Yeah.
That's when he says, now what are you going to do? It's like, well, God, I really need you. I can do no other thing but to ask you to give me the wisdom to manage the situation.
Yep.
Sometimes he takes us there.
Yeah.
And
but
it's a trust
thing. But he meets us there. I mean, it's taking us 100%. There. He's already there to meet us.
He's already there. That's a great point.
We say this. Often, I find myself saying this often here at this table and other places as well, is like, there are prayers that we know that God will always say yes to. And this is one of them. Like, if you are truly seeking his wisdom,
that's exactly right.
He's going to give it. And he's going to, and that's not to say that there will always be a very clear option, right? Because sometimes you find yourself with two options that are good, right?
Yeah, like, that's right.
Neither of these is sinful. Both of them can honor God in different ways. You ask for wisdom to help point you in the right direction, and that's where that let go of control
But there are so many examples of places that we need that wisdom, that we ought to lock into this and just say, this is how I'm going to live my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask God for the wisdom I need for even the big things or little things.
Yep.
I learned this from somebody I worked with a long time ago who said, sometimes she said, she would drive home from church and she worked in the student ministry at the time. And sometimes she would be at a stop sign and say, God, which way would you like me to take home? as a practice, just to feel something. And yeah. she said invariably when she would do that, something would happen that's like, oh my gosh, that's why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying that that is as granular as small of a right. situation.
Right.
But she was just trying to live every part of her life. And I know that can go overboard and you can get really stressed out by, you know, every little thing you have to ask God. But I'm yeah. saying that the practice of everyday decision making on these things that we have to decide on every day,
yeah.
leave it to the Lord. Trust Him. Walk with Him. It's really what it means to do that, you know?
Yeah. And I think we have so many decisions that we're making all the time that a lot of us experience is being called decision fatigue. Like a lot mm-hmm. of us experience that where because of the world we live in, we got so many more options than anybody ever used yeah. to between yeah. like that's all right. of the just access to the world that we have can be really exhausting
yeah, to, really
to
can.
Have to navigate. And
it
so,
really can.
Yeah.
It's a good way to live. So
yep.
that was the that was what I think Solomon taught us, that he asked for wisdom and God gave it to him.
Yep.
And can so do that we as can well. Do the same thing.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's real great.
And I hope that we will all do that this week.
Yes. We yes. ask for wisdom and we believe that God will give it
that
to
we'll
us.
That we'll receive it.
And we'll yep. get it. You know yep. what I mean? So amazing. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, man.
Well, have a good week.
Yeah, man.
Y'all
you
have
too.
A good week.
See you guys next week. Mm-hmm.